You know, it's important, and we looked Wednesday night at the crucifixion, so we'll not spend time on that today, because today is not about the crucifixion. But just to set the story, we need to understand that Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends. In fact, Jesus said to him, "Friend," right, when they last met, "friend," that's how he referred to him. We need to know that the false accusations came against Jesus when he was taken into the mock trials, kangaroo court, if you will. They brought lots of accusations against him, but not only did they bring false accusations, they slandered the truth to accuse him. They took things that he said, they took things that were true, and they used it against him because they opposed the truth. In my notes, I started to write, they opposed his truth, but understand something. There is no personal truth. Truth is truth. It either is true or it's false. Your truth and my truth cannot be different. There is truth and there is false. So if we disagree, one of us is wrong. And it's possible that both of us are wrong, but we can't disagree and both be right. Understand that. And so they used his words against them. They were blinded by hate. They were blinded by traditions. And they joined into a mob and demanded his execution. That's what happened. As Jesus took his apostles, his church, and had Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper and went into the Garden of Gethsemane for a time of prayer, and they arrested Jesus away from his people, and they took him and they had a trial, and they demanded, the people demanded his execution. Galatians 4:4 tells us that it was in the fullness of time and God's timing. You want to know why Jesus got crucified? It was because Judas sold him for the price of an injured slave. It was because the mob was against him. It was because they lied against him. All those things are true. But ultimately, even if none of that happened, understand something. The Father had a point on the calendar where Jesus, the supreme sacrifice, had to be given. He died, not because of Judas alone, but because of me. Not because of the mob alone, but because of you. He died for us. What a shame that Jesus gave all. And people will go to hell anyway because they just don't like the truth. Even one of the soldiers stood there and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Surely today, if you're here and you've not accepted Christ, surely by now you understand there's only one way to heaven. And the alternative is the lake of fire. Of course you understand that by now. So what's holding you back? From right now, from your heart to God's heart in prayer, saying, "God, I know I have failed. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I trust Him as my Savior, and ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul." Would you put your faith in Him now? You see, He died on that cross for us. It was all those other things, but mainly it was God's timing. Mainly it was because in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Before the foundations of the earth, before the world was ever made, a plan was laid out. A schedule was laid out. A calendar was set. And there were certain events that had to take place. For instance, Rome had to have the occupation of Israel. The Roman road, the Greek alphabet, all those things had to be in the place so that the gospel would be able to come out from Israel and go all around the world. And in the fullness of time, it happened. And on that evening, Jesus died on the cross. Wednesday night, we left it there, didn't we? And Lucifer, that old devil, was so happy. He thought he had finally done it. I bet he went back to hell and told all of his friends, "Look what I did." I want to talk about something a little bit different. In Luke 23 and verse 46, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. And then what? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus said, the Son of Man, as Jonah, the Son of Man must go 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What does that mean? Well, for people who grew up in church and understand what the Bible says, this is not going to be a revelation to you. But for those who have never heard it, I want you to understand everything I'm going to tell you this morning is in the Bible, from the Bible. See, in the center of the earth, the earth's core, that hot place where lava comes from, there is a spiritual place called hell. There were two divisions of hell. You see, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, there was a place there called Abraham's bosom. When Jesus was hanging on the cross in Luke 23 and verse 43, you can look up and see it right there. He told one of the others who was being crucified, today you'll be with me in paradise. So Abraham's bosom or paradise is that place in the center of the earth, in the heart of the earth, where lava comes from, where it's a spiritual, understand it's a spiritual place. I need you to comprehend that. Because can you see spirits? Does anybody see spirits? No, we don't see spirits. We see bodies, but there are spirits there. And those spirits, half of them were on Abraham's bosom, paradise side, but they could see across a fixed gulf. They could see across to the other places, a place called hell or the grave, Hades. You see, that's where the people who rejected God went while they waited. And they are still there waiting for judgment. And if you die today without God, you will go to that place called hell or Hades or the grave. We'll put your body maybe in a coffin and bury you. Or we could be cremated and put you in an urn or scatter you to the sea. Whatever you want to do doesn't matter, because we're not talking about your body. We're talking about your spirit. Those who deny God and reject God go to that place called hell. But at this time in history, we're talking about in Luke 23, those who knew God, those who trusted God, went to a place called Abraham's bosom. I can't put into words. I think about it and try to come up with it. It's all extra biblical. In other words, we don't have the stories here. But for, I would say, at least 3 years, those who believed in God, the righteous, would go to that place called Abraham's bosom after they passed, and they would say to everyone there, he's there. The Son of God is walking on the earth. The Messiah is alive in Jerusalem and in Israel. And he's going about ministering. And they'd come down there and they'd say, tell me all about him. He walks on water. He feeds thousands with a little lunchbox of food. He raises people from the dead. He heals people of their blindness and their deafness and their muteness. He heals people from seizures. He heals people from all things. He is alive. The Son of God is alive and he's walking on the earth. You see, if you study history, if you study your prophecy, then you know that that's going to end with something. So I'm saying for about 3 years, the people in Abraham's bosom were excited. Man, they were looking, something's about to happen. And then it happens. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And his soul goes to that place called Abraham's bosom, paradise. Can you imagine all those people who have been waiting to meet the Savior? And he's there. And he's preaching. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says he preached to them. I know you're not there, but just you can look it up later. It's all recorded. Jesus preached to those who were in paradise. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wild? But not just Jesus preached to them. Guess who heard it? The ones on the other side. The ones in hell. The prisoners, Peter calls them. They could hear the preaching of Jesus as he talked about life and about eternity and talked about the Father, all the things, whatever he talked about. They could hear Jesus preaching in hell. Isn't that wild? How long did he preach? Well, he preached about an hour, then they broke and went to lunch. No. He was there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth preaching. You talk about revival. Do you think anybody else, you think they called people up from the floor to preach? Hey, who wants to preach next? No, we don't. We want to listen to you. We want to hear what you have to say. Jesus preached. Isn't that incredible? What did you do while you were in hell? Preached. Preached the whole time. John the Baptist was there. Right? Abraham was there. All the ones you could think of in the Old Testament, with the exception of Moses, Elijah, and Enoch. They were there listening to Jesus preach. And he says, guys, I want you to know something. I know some of you have been down here a long time. But I want you to know something. We're getting ready to go home. I've got something to do. I'm going to go up and I'm going to say hi to a few people. And then I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to present myself as the supreme sacrifice for sin. Because the lambs and the goats and the bulls and the pigeons and everything that you've sacrificed for thousands of years was just to cover your sin. But we're not going to deal covering it up anymore. We don't need a cover up. We need it washed away. And I'm going up there and I'm going to go to the Father, and we're not going to just cover it up anymore. We're going to wash it clean, completely washed away. And after the Father accepts the sacrifice, I'm going to be taking y'all home. Wow. 3 days and 3 nights. The church, still here in Jerusalem, was in shock. Jesus, their minister, their pastor, their friend, had been crucified in an awful, violent way. And he's dead. What do you do when people die? When people you love die, what do? They cry. They wept. They wept together. They held each other. They said, what can we do? What do we do now? He's gone. We thought there was going to be so much more, but he's gone. Well, I mean, let's have a funeral, right? Isn't that what you do? They prepared spices. They had placed him in a tomb right around the corner from Calvary. And so they went to prepare the body because he's been dead. Right? Remember when Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days? And they said, surely by now he stinketh. They said, we got to put some spices. Prepare him for public viewing. Prepare him for final burial. So that people can come and to see him. They brought the spices, and when they got there, do you remember what happened? In chapter 24, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with him, and they found the stone rolled away. Hold on a second. I read this before. I know what happened. There were guards there. There was a sign sealed by the government that said, no trespassing. What do you mean the stone's rolled away? The stone was rolled away and the women went in and there were angels. Look at what they said to him in verse number 5. Look at what the angels said to the ladies in verse number 5. They were afraid and they bowed down their faces to the earth. And the angel said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Woo! How come y'all don't shout like that? He's not here, verse 6, but is risen. Look, they were coming to mourn a dead pastor. Instead, they find out he's the risen Savior. There's an old song, I should have gotten it out to sing it today. But it says, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. If we didn't have teachers in here, I would have sung it. But you're not supposed to say ain't. They prepared spices for public mourning for their loving leader, and they get there, and he's not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Guys, that's what today is about. You mean today? I mean every Sunday, that's what it's about. Why? Because it was on the first day of the week. That's why we come to church on Sunday, because it's the first day of the week. That's why we celebrate our risen Savior on a weekly basis, because it was on a Sunday He rose from the grave. You see, Mary saw Him there in the garden that day. She thought He was the groundskeeper. She said to Him, "Sir, if they put His body here and it's not supposed to be here, just tell me and we'll move it." And He said, "Mary." And the way Jesus said her name revealed who He was. You ever heard that song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus"? And Mary said, "Master." And she jumped for Him. And He said, "Well, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father." You see, He is the sacrifice. And in that time, He went to the Father, to the real Holy of Holies, the throne of God, and presented Himself, the sacrifice for all time, for me and for you. And you know what the Father said? "Accept it." It's accepted. And you know what Jesus did? Well, y'all got to come back tonight to hear the rest of it. But anyway. As the high priest, He came back to the church and He said, "It's been accepted." When He came back, He let them touch Him. When He came back, but see, in that time, and He told all those people in hell, in the Abraham's bosom, He said, "Hey, we're going home." And once the Father accepted the sacrifice, they went home. Isn't that incredible? Those spirits are no longer in hell in waiting for judgment. Now they're in heaven. But those who rejected God are still there. You see, hell enlarged itself that day because they had a wing that was no longer needed to hold God's people. Now it could be used to hold others who rejected God. Again, it's a spiritual place. A place of souls. But why would you go to hell when you could go to God? You see, right now, by faith, and we've already said it, but right now, by faith, you could pray and ask God to forgive you and He'll save your soul. Jesus gave us the victory over the grave. Everyone in here. Now, I won't get into the rapture, which is a biblical doctrine. It is truth. It is reality. But I want you to understand, outside of the rapture, everyone in this room is going to go to the grave. At some point, we're all going to die. And before that moment comes, you've got to make a decision which side you're on. And right now, you could choose Jesus. But once that moment comes, if you have not received Jesus, if you have not chosen Him, you're not getting into heaven. I can't pray you out, pay you out, get you out, rescue you. There's no way out once you get there. With Jesus' resurrection comes this text in 1 Corinthians 15 as Paul writes, "O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm thankful to know that one day I will die. I will leave this life. But when my body is dead, y'all can do whatever you want because I won't feel it. You can bury it, cremate it, doesn't matter. I know some people are really against it. Well, okay. Whatever you want to do, have a celebration, don't have a celebration, because I'm going to be somewhere else. Guys, it's important for us to understand that. That grave has no sting anymore. Because I will take a breath here, and then I will take a breath there. I will have my eyes closed here, and I will open my eyes there. Oh, yeah, my physical body's going in the grave. But my spirit will still be alive, very alive. And so will yours if you put your faith in Jesus. Now, there is that other unfortunate case, is those who do not believe in Jesus. The family will call and they'll say, "Pastor, come over. My relative has died." And I will come and I will say, "Did they know Jesus?" And you know, it's so sad to me when their family says, "I don't know. I don't know." But when I come to the family and I say, "Were they born again?" And they say, "Oh, yeah." You know why? Because they're not worried anymore. I was with a family yesterday. A man died. And the wife says to me, "I prayed that God would heal him." I said, "Hallelujah, he has." He had just called his family, his wife and son, in and said, "Pray with me." And they did. They prayed with him. I don't guess he knew he was about to die, but something was up. And in just a few minutes, he was perfectly healed. His body is dead, but his spirit is alive. And I hope we can say the same thing about you. Guys, this is not a lottery of religions. This is your opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand. If you want to come and kneel and pray at the altar, this is your opportunity. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. You can pray where you are because you're not talking to me. You're talking to the Father. Father, forgive me. I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I trust Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. I give my life to you, God. Thank you for giving me eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving me hope beyond the grave. Victory over death. We're not talking about the physical body. Guys, your physical body is going to die. So is mine. And the sooner we can accept death and deal with what comes after death, the happier we will be. This is your opportunity. Would you come? You can pray where you are. You can reach heaven today from your heart. Please don't leave today without committing your life to Christ. He was crucified for you. You sinned. He didn't. I sinned. He didn't. But he gave his all to forgive me and you. Glad you're here today. Hope you've had a good morning so far. Hope your day gets even better. Amen. I get excited about talking about Jesus' resurrection, don't you? It's wonderful. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed? Don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. All right? Okay. All hearts and minds are clear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Bill Sanders, dismiss us, please.